Wingman Nation, welcome to the Wingman Men's Movement Podcast. This is your, well, I'm not the host. I guess I'm the producer, John Delaney, here hanging at the hangar. And we're, I know Randy's in, Randy, you out in Clearwater?
St. Petersburg.
St. Pete. So we're a little distance today. Jay and I are on opposite ends of the building, but we're glad that you're with us. I'm hanging out online here with the co-founders of Wingman Nation, Pastor Jay Dennis and Randy Ferreira. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, John.
Hey, John, good morning.
It's a beautiful day, man. It was nice this morning, wasn't it?
It was after a nice, very stormy night last night.
Man, it was a nasty night last night, no doubt about it. Well, we're excited to be bringing you a new series. This is a two-part series about compromise and how keeping your character when compromise knocks. This is part one. And we're going to be looking at Genesis 39, verses 1 through 18. Randy, take it away, brothers.
Thank you, John. Hey, Papa Rock, J-Pop, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, Papa Rock. Good morning. It's good to see you this morning.
Thank you, thank you. So, yeah, there's lots of places in the Bible that tells us how to live out our character, but we've chosen Genesis 39, 1 through 18. I want to read it for all of us. It's going to take just a little bit, but I think it's important. It sets the stage. So, this is a story of Joseph. The part when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar. He was an Egyptian officer, as we all remember. Potiphar was captain of the guards for Pharaoh, and he was the king of Egypt, obviously. Now, the Lord was with Joseph, it says, so he succeeded in everything that he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Now, Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything that he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything that he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything that he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food he was going to eat. So Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, like you, John. And Potiphar's wife,
I'm in shape,
soon began to look at him lustfully. "Come and sleep with me," she demanded. But Joseph refused. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day. But you know what? He refused to sleep with her. And he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around. Isn't that interesting? When he went in to do his work, she came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, "Come on, sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. When she saw that she was holding his cloak and he had fled, she called out to her servants. Soon all the men came running. "Look," she said, "my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream, he ran outside and got away, but he left his cloak behind with me." She kept the cloak with her until her husband came home. Then she told him her story. "That Hebrew slave you brought into our house tried to come in and fool around with me," she said. "But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me." So character, guys, it's not a word we hear a great deal about today anymore. I mean, it just seems to have faded away with our current society. But by definition, though, it means qualities of honesty, courage, integrity, moral and ethical quality. It's different from your reputation, which is very important as well, and a time for another podcast. But reputation is what others think you are, but character is what you really are when no one else is looking.
That's right.
Not doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not right. because you're trying to impress somebody. Right.
And that's a great distinction there between reputation and character. Character is a combination of courage, consistency, love, honesty, endurance, and commitment. Let me give some examples. Character is Billy Graham, the evangelist, who preached the gospel for many, many years, who never was involved in any scandal. It's driving back to the grocery store and giving back the $3.46, too much you got back. It's a young man or woman who says, not everybody's doing it. I'm waiting for my wedding night.
Yeah.
Not letting someone else take the blame when you're at fault. Doing your absolute best on the job when the boss is not there. Telling the truth when you get by, when you could get by with a lie and be benefited by it. Opening the door for a lady. Keeping a promise to your wife or children. Not cheating on a test, even when you're sitting behind Einstein and you can see his answers. So Joseph possessed this character we're talking about. His jealous brothers had sold him to the Midianites as a slave, and while telling their father that he had been killed by a wild beast, the Midianites took him to Egypt, sold him to Potiphar, the captain of the elite bodyguard of Pharaoh. He rose to the position of controlling Potiphar's entire household. And through all of this, Joseph kept his character. But a knock would come, the knock of compromise, the knock of temptation. So how did he keep his character when compromise knocked? How can you? And men, you can keep your character when compromise knocked.
No question about it. And it is going to come. No,
it will.
But I have a little sidebar. I'm wondering, early on when I was reading scripture, I said the king of Egypt was Pharaoh, and you just called him Pharaoh. Is that the Arkansas way to call him Pharaoh?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a southern twang that we add.
Okay. Is that Arkansas?
Arkansas.
Yeah. Now, he could have been from the southern part of Egypt. They called him Pharaoh. Told him about that
Pharaoh. You know, they cook everything with lard.
Y'all pray for me. One of these days, I'm getting a set of teeth.
Then you wouldn't be able to go back to Arkansas. I wouldn't know who you were. Hey. All right, let's get back.
Is that the toothbrush joke?
Yeah, you got it.
Right. So you ended with how did he keep his character when compromise knocked, and how can you? How can we? So. We're going to give you some points on how to do that, guys. And the first one is experiencing God on a daily basis. So in Genesis 39:2-3, it says, the Lord was with Joseph, so he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. So when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, so
that's right.
The Lord was with him, and he prospered, and even his master saw it. And so what he did was prospering for the master. So Joseph had not taken his eyes off the Lord. Mm-hmm. The glitter, the gold, the glamour of Egypt had not drawn his attention away from God. We can safely assume that Joseph worshiped the Lord and spent time with him each day. Mm-hmm. That's what we have to do. And this is kind of the key to our character. There's no easy formula, no convenient steps, no shortcuts. Just daily experiencing time with God. That's how Joseph kept his character when compromise knocked. He knew he had to do and honor God in everything when temptation is coming, even when no one's looking. But the push of Satan, guys, is too strong, and the pull of the world is too appealing for all of us without the daily time alone with God. We're not strong enough. We right. can't do it. Call right. us what we're weak. We're, you know, that's just how we are. So
yes.
we have to recognize that. It's not a character flaw. It's how men are. So
that's right.
Now God is not going to zap us or send us a plague, you know, that disport, you know, on if we dismiss the time with him or we can't yeah. make it every once in a while. He's not going to, you know, do that. But something else does happen very subtly. we start to leave ourselves open when we're not spending that regular time with God. We become vulnerable to compromise. And if you say, well, you wait and pray until the temptation actually comes, it's too late. It's already ingrained.
I agree. Yeah.
So you can't just wing, oh, my goodness, God, here he is. No, not only does that not work, it's unrealistic. And I'm not disregarding what God can do. He can do anything at any time. But, you know, we have to have that strength that we're building up in the Lord. So when temptation comes and we call on God, we've already got a deposit. We've already got that strong relationship.
That's right.
So, and it's not enough to live on what happened yesterday spiritually. Oh, yeah, well, I've been praying for the last 2 months, but I've stopped for 6 months. I should be okay. No. It's not going to work. We have to experience God today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So how do you go out and face a world of compromise and keep our character? Because, guys, the world is all about compromise today.
Right? Yeah.
Temptations are there. The lines are blurred in where morality starts and stops with our society. It's right. Like, everybody's truth is just roaming rapidly out there. Satan is, you know, the scripture about him out there trying to devour everybody like a lion. That's happening. We're living that right now. So we have to learn to come before the Lord before we go out into the world.
Right.
And it's a time where we praise him, read his word, seek his will, cry out to him, and then listen for his voice.
Randy, you're so right, because we're living in a time where there is no moral clarity. Used to, when we were growing up, there was a sense of morality. There was a sense of this is right and this is wrong, this is truth and this is falsehood. But now all of that is mixed up. And like you said, it becomes your truth and my truth and everyone has his own truth. No, truth is based on an objective reality of the absolutes of God.
Right.
And so that's our moral clarity is God's word. But look at number two, determined to be your best and do your best right where you are. And we see this in Genesis 39, 3-5. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all of that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Joseph had been in Egypt now for 13 years. He had been mistreated, lied about, taken away from his home, sold into slavery. It's enough to make anybody bitter. But not Joseph. Theologian John Phillips said of Joseph, Joseph was loyal. He could be trusted. He was a leader. He never lost an opportunity to educate and improve himself. He was enthusiastic. He infected others with his zeal. And moreover, he planned ahead and will always be looking toward the future. That's what he did. Such men were rare. Now, guys, guys, you may be in a terrible situation at work. You may be the only Christian where you work or where you go and where you live. You may be surrounded by ungodly people, but what an opportunity.
Yeah.
It's no coincidence that you are where you are. So what do? You determine, like Joseph, right where you are to be your best and to do your best. It may not get you an immediate promotion or a pat on the back, but friend, understand that God takes notice. God promoted Joseph because he saw that no matter where he put him, he would give it his absolute best. And he will do the same for you as you give your best, no matter what you're doing. So Christians should be the best people wherever they are and whenever it is. Do your best where you are.
That's right. And you know, you're not talking about preaching and always throwing in biblical quotes and all that. He's just talking about go out there and do your best at whatever you're doing, honestly, morally, ethically, legally, and people will take note of that because so many people aren't doing that.
That's right.
And
exactly
if that
right.
And that gives you a platform to express your Christian beliefs. So be it. And it probably will, because people will see you differently. Number three is dare to share your testimony wherever you are. What a segue. I don't know how that happened. So why was Joseph a slave and in a foreign land with pagan people worshiping gods of gold and stone? Well, maybe to make a difference for God. Potiphar had taken note of Joseph's dedication to the Lord, the Jehovah. And that's kind of what we were just talking about. Potiphar noticed him, noticed Joseph, and noticed his dedication. So he recognized that Joseph was different from his other slaves. He recognized that Joseph was different from his other slaves. No doubt Joseph shared his convictions and his dreams, his Lord, with Potiphar and with the slaves. I'm sure we're all sure he did. There's no way he could. His faith was not a secret. He prayed constantly. His testimony left an indelible impression, obviously, on Potiphar.
It did.
And so, you know, and Potiphar saw that and thought, wow, God's got to be with this guy. Look what's happening. You know, his God is taking care of him and ultimately taking care of me, Potiphar. And he saw that. So right where you are, guys, you can look for opportunities to share your story of how Jesus came into your life. People all around you are empty. They're lonely. They're seeking. And we don't realize that, but it's so true because we're kind of scared to say anything. Mm-hmm. Many of them are searching for an experience with God, and they don't even know it until you start talking about it. I was telling you guys this morning about my discussion with an IT guy on trying to fix my computer, and the same thing happened. You know, we started chatting, and I was like, I got to get this printed because I got a podcast coming up. And he goes, oh, podcast. So it gave me an opportunity to start sharing. I could have just blew it off and said, yeah, I got one.
Right.
Let's hurry up and get this done. But I took the time to talk with him and bring up what we did and what we're doing and sort of share a little bit of the story. So it's not nagging people or being the resident condemner.
We all know those.
we all know those. And if you don't know anybody. Special. If you don't know anybody, it's probably you. So,
yeah.
It's about just being an obvious Christian person and praying for the opportunity to share what Jesus has done in your life.
Right.
No preaching, no condemning, just living your life with integrity, honesty, and doing the right thing all the time. People will take notice and it will give you an opportunity. So, has your testimony left the kind of mark on your world that Joseph's made on Potiphar? Think through that. You know, if it could, or if you would keep your character, like, don't compromise with anything, guys. Compromising makes you simply like everybody else.
That's right.
One of the crowd, right? I mean, and there's lots of those guys around. If you want to be one of those guys, then compromise. But when you don't, you earn the right to share your testimony by keeping your character. God will allow that to come to the surface just by keeping your character.
He will. You know, being a Christian is show and tell in that order. You have to show it before you tell it. Because if all you're doing is telling it and not showing it, people will pay no attention to you. But you got to show, you have to demonstrate the love of God by the way you live and your character, your integrity, and then you've earned the right to share, let me tell you why I'm different, and to share your testimony.
That's really interesting, too. I like the word combinations, the show and tell, because your showing actually becomes telling.
It does.
And then you have an opportunity to tell it.
Absolutely right. And always in that order, like you said. Well, let's look at number four. Be ready for temptation to strike. Temptation hit Joseph head on. There was no subtlety here. That's a hard word to say. The conditions were perfect for compromise. In Egypt, morality was laughed at, kind of like it is today.
Yeah.
And sexual freedom was the end thing. Anything goes. No one would ever know. No one would blame you, Joseph. When in Egypt, do as the Egyptians. There were no absolutes. And again, it reminds us of today.
Yeah.
Joseph, when he was in his 20s, in a place of privacy, he was handsome. He was well-built. Combine that with a woman who was lonely, whose husband was never around, who had no time for her, and she was bored. Compromise not hard. And guys, if you would say, I never, ever am tempted to compromise, you'll lie about other things too.
That's because right.
Every man has those times. Yeah. You know, I was reading about a song and a prayer for sexual temptation. This was Rich Mullins, a Christian musician and songwriter who died in 1997 at the age of 41. He once confessed in a concert that he struggled with watching pornography while traveling alone. And one of his spiritual mentors told him, it's not that you're so bad, it's just that you're not supposed to go out by yourself. So Mullins took a friend along with him on a trip to Amsterdam near its famous red light district. Mullins said he was hoping his friend would fall fast asleep and start snoring. So as Mullins put it, I thought maybe it would be fun to just take a walk and be tempted.
Oh, gosh.
He waited until 5 in the morning for his friend to start snoring, but he never did. And meanwhile, in the midst of the temptation, Mullins picked up a notebook and wrote the words to one of his more popular songs. And I love this song. It's called Hold Me, Jesus. And I'll wake up in the night and feel the dark. It's so hot inside my soul. I swear there must be blisters on my heart. So hold me, Jesus, because I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been king of my glory. Won't you be my prince of peace? With this backstory, some people call this Mullins' Prayer for Porn Addicts song, but it could also be called a Prayer for Anyone Who Is Tempted song. You know, as we've thought about this, one thought keeps coming to my mind that I think will be a comfort and an encouragement to every man listening. And that is this. It is not a sin to be tempted, guys.
Nope.
Jesus was tempted. You see, the sin is when you act on the temptation. The Bible says Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. So when temptation knocks on your door, don't feel like that you have sinned against God. No, it's the acting on the temptation. And I think a lot of guys just don't get that, and they feel condemned for being tempted. Don't you dare feel condemned for being tempted. That happens to every man, like I said, even Jesus. But it's what you do when that temptation knocks. And if you have been in God's word, if you've been in worship, if you've been experiencing God, then you're ready for that temptation. And as Randy said earlier, if you wait to pray for the moment of temptation, you're too late.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to build exit ramps in your mind before that temptation ever comes. So guys, be encouraged. We're all tempted, but God gives you the power to say no every single time.
Good word. Good word. Good
word. Yes.
And I think that's a word of clarification for all of us. Listen, we're so glad you're listening to our podcast, and this is a very practical podcast that you can begin to put to use in your life right now. So we can't wait to get to part two as we begin to go a little bit deeper and delve into the hows of temptation and the whens of temptation. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please invite others to listen as well. But until next time,
don't miss part two. Hang that out.
Wingman Men's Moment Podcast is brought to you courtesy of the Wingman Nation Men's Ministry. Visit us at wingmannation.com.